got here?
He lowered the price of gas on us, bro. He will shut us down, put us out of business without thinking twice about your mother or my wife.
There we go. We're splitting shifts and breaking even as is. How are we supposed to buy another gas station?
Hey, heard you Arabs was in a gas war, bro.
Does he have a cappuccino machine?
How much, man?
$12.
$12, man? With nothing in here is $12.
But what about this girl?
You don't talk to her like that, because she's an updo girl.
What's an updo? I want to talk to her.
So I got Yemen Yap, Mexico Minute, Pakistan Gold, Alu World Iraq, and Buenos Aires Web. Do you know what you want?
Forget about her, bro.
I can't call her. I can't talk to her. Why not?
Because she's on lockdown, bro. That's it.
Dad didn't want this. I don't want this.
Sammy, did you see my sister here earlier?
I'm just the one.
Hi, Mom.
Do not go back there with him.
I'm at Nadia's house, yeah.
Older, I know I could try.
What did I tell her?
Well, that's my girl.
Shahada, are you joking?
Yeah. Let's talk about love.
This guy is taking your money, and you're still hurting on Fadi's sister.
I'd rather be doing anything else than this, you know? They give me money, I give them lollipops. They stay on their side, I stay on mine. Let's talk about life.
Hi, I need directions to 94.
Make a right, East Grand Boulevard. Just drive fast. Don't stop at the red light either. Don't worry about it.
Let's talk about love.
My name is Roland Nashev. I'm a writer, director, producer, and independent filmmaker based in Detroit.
So, Detroit Unleaded. Tell me about it. How do you explain it to folks?
Okay, so Detroit Unleaded is my first feature. It's a slice of life romantic dramedy that centers around, you know, these Arab Americans in a 24-hour gas station in Detroit. You know, I think it does a really good job at actually incorporating all those, you know, genres. This is something that we work really hard to do, you know, is to have the film flow, you know, in between slice of life, you know, drama, comedy. And, you know, it's something that, you know, I love, like when the audience tells me that, you know, that's what they think it is too. So, that's how I describe it.
I remember hearing about it several years ago. Did it originally start out as a short, correct?
Yes. It started off as a short film that I released in 2007. It was like more like a nonprofit, you know, venture. I raised money. It was like about a $15,000 budget. We shot on 16mm. We shot it in 2005. And I basically fundraised, you know, with my friends and family. This was like before Kickstarter or, you know, these online sort of fundraising platforms. I just kind of did it the old fashioned way. I sent out actual letters. I used my like fundraising and telemarketing background to just get on the phone and ask people to chip in and support the project. And so we raised about $15,000. It was, a real grassroots effort. A lot of, I work with a lot of people from my film school, and people just came on board because they really liked the script, the characters, and it was about a 12-day shoot. It was a very, magical experience. I think it was like the first time that I realized like sort of the power of like synergy, you know, when like a bunch of people really come together and do the impossible, you know, which is really filmmaking. But yeah, it was really my most ambitious project at that time in 2005. And, once I released it, the audience, you know, really liked it. It went to 23 festivals. It won like 3 awards, and people kept telling me, that they didn't want it to end and they really loved the characters and they wanted to see more. And then that's when I realized like, oh, this has to be a feature. You know, people don't want this to end. And so that was the inspiration to develop it into a feature.
In that process, like taking a short idea, obviously, what was it, about 20 minutes or so, and then expanding it out to 90 minutes or so, mm-hmm. Sort of who returned, what ideas returned, what did it allow you to expand upon?
That was great. The 20-minute short, you know, when I made the short, I wrote, you know, a lot. It was the first time I had written anything. And, you know, we spent a lot of time in editing, you know, really trying to create and craft the story that we wanted to tell. And so once I got an hour and a half, and of course, we were trying to put that story into a short, which is such a challenge. It's a very different format from a feature. And so once I had, like, I started with the script, you know, my biggest inspiration was, oh, wow, I have an hour and a half, or maybe, you know, hour 45 minutes at most to tell this story. So instantly, like, of course, my vision began to expand. And then I began to incorporate more characters. So I think one of the first things I did is develop more characters that would be regulars in and out of the gas station, and then began to develop the main characters, like the mom, really took a leap in the feature from the short. The main character, you know, himself, our protagonist, Sammy, we got to really explore his backstory and understand who he was before we met him now. I got to incorporate a little bit more about this like Arab American family and this dynamic that's so unique to our community via the parents, the mom and dad. Which were the dad was not present in the short. And then the characters were, of course, like just a riot, you know, coming up with the gas station characters, and using many different like sources of inspiration, you know, to develop these characters. So it was a long road. The script, the going from a short to a feature, the script, and fundraising was about 2 years after in 2008 and 2009. And, you know, within those 2 years, I went through several drafts and really, I think, learned how to become a writer. It was the first time I had, you know, written a feature script, and really learned to live with characters for a long period of time and write for them. And so, it was, I think, one of the most, you know, personal, inner, like personal, you know, points, you know, within the project for me. And I got to explore a lot about myself and like develop my style as a writer and as a director, within that time. And then once the money came through, we went right into production.
You are of the Arab American background, and those who don't know, you know, the Detroit area is a large community of folks from the Middle East. So what did you think about sort of your development of the film and how your background in the community played a part in that, whether it be, you know, the characters or the stories or things like that that sort of worked their way in?
I think that, you know, my sort of need or urge or inspiration to tell a story from this perspective was, you know, the inspiration to make this film. You know, when I went to film school, I was inspired to do this because, I mean, I think I was always on the path, you know, I just wasn't clear, you know, until I actually found it, you know, after college. But, you know, the inspiration always came from this total lack of, you know, representation within our community in mainstream media. And media in general, you know, growing up within this community, you know, it was a very different picture than what I was seeing in mainstream culture and in mainstream media. You know, the Arab American image and the Arab image is extremely skewed, you know, within this media. And so, so growing up, it was sort of twofold. There was a complete absence of people who look like me in movies and television. There was no portrayal of an Arab American family. There was no portrayal of a lovable Arab character anywhere. But the polar opposite of that, you know, I was growing up with people who inspired me on a daily basis, who loved me to death, like my family, you know, and my friends who were just so hilarious and interesting and smart and like so unique in many different ways. And for me, it was like, I really want to show everybody my friends. I want to introduce everybody to my friends and to my community that I love so much. So that was always like the driving force for me to actually go to film school, to make films, to become a filmmaker. And also it's just simply my perspective, you know, writers and filmmakers, we write and we produce work from our own perspective. You know, this is what artists do. And so, as an Arab American, this is my perspective. So really what you're watching in the film is, you know, a story about, you know, being stuck in a job that you don't like or having a crush on somebody and being inspired by that crush. But it's done through an Arab American dynamic and something that we rarely get to see.
I agree with you on that in terms of not seeing representation in media. And then it seemed there was a documentary I saw a few years ago that talked about Arab Americans in representation in film and media, mm-hmm. and was sort of talking, you know, obviously like pre-9/11, post-9/11. And do you think like now, I mean, you obviously have done two projects, both, you know, related, but with mm-hmm. characters in the community. Do you see that this is an opportunity to show in some way sort of the everyday life that Arab Americans lead?
Yes, absolutely. Because I think what happens a lot of times is, you know, it's the image is very polarized, especially now. It's very polarized because there has been, you know, a bit more like production in terms of, you know, Arab media and, you know, filmmakers and stuff. But I think what tends to happen is it becomes a little bit polarized in that there's this, you know, the fear factor image of like, you know, this horrible stereotype of Arabs and Arab Americans constantly, like people are being constantly bombarded by this image. And then there's this polar opposite of that, which is like the answer. It's like a response to that, which is like, no, we're perfect and we're very religious and we're very pious. And we're, you know, it's like, where's everybody else in between? You know, where's like the everyday people and people who like have issues and problems and who are trying to fall in love, who are trying to, you know, carve out their own path in this world. And so I was more interested in exploring that everyday life of Arab America, because that's where I come from, you know, so that is my perspective. And so I think that, you know, with these more like sort of slice of life stories, you're the story and the characters, the Arab American characters, become more accessible to like a more mainstream audience, because, you know, the film is, you know, not really there to tell you something or to teach you something. It's really just there to present this story that I came up with and these characters that I love so much, you know, that I want to share with everyone. It always felt to me like, you know, when you have like a really good friend that you think is hilarious and so funny and you always want to introduce that person to your other friends. That's how I always felt about these characters. Like, you know, I really want you to meet these people because they're hilarious, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely the case. You know, I know just from my own life, and I feel that way about film too. And I think that's why we do the show, is that, you know, we really enjoy movies and then we're like, oh, you got to see this. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping that through the conversation we're having that we can get some folks to come out and see Detroit Unleaded in its big premiere in Detroit, and then the rollout as well.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Yeah.
And one of the things I wanted to sort of follow up with you on was the last time I talked to you, you were heading to Toronto in 2012, and mm-hmm. Just wanted to ask sort of how the reaction was there and what has the reaction been in the small, you know, festival screenings that you've had so far?
It was incredible. That whole experience was really just, I mean, it was definitely like a life-changing experience for sure. We had been working for so long, you know, we were in post-production for about a year and a half and, had been working since, you know, 2010, since we went into production. And so, and because Toronto was only 4 hours away, we were able to bring so much, you know, so many of our cast and crew with us. So we had like a really great entourage and people who have been on the project for years since the conception, you know? So it was a really great community, Detroit Unleaded community, a great street team, you know, that helped us like get the word out as well. And when we got there, we had three screenings. We sold out every screening, which was just absolutely incredible. We won the Grosch Discovery Award, which was amazing, sponsored by Grosch Beer. And the audience reaction just completely blew us away. The audience was very mixed. Like, it was ethnically, you know, racially, even age-wise, lots of families, you know, single people, Arab American couples, non-Arabs, all kinds of people. And that's what I loved about it the most. It was just so diverse. Every single screening was extremely diverse. And then the reaction was just incredible. I mean, people laughed throughout the entire film from beginning to end. And then the feedback was just amazing. I heard things from like non-Arabs, like, this could be anybody's story. You know, this could be any immigrant story. Or things like, you know, my parents also wanted me to live at home when I went to college, you know, you know, they really loved like the portrayal of this young Arab couple, you know, trying to date within this community and under all these restrictions. I remember this Arab couple actually came up to me after one of the screenings in Toronto and they said, "Hi, we're an Arab couple and you totally nailed it. You totally nailed the Arab American dating dynamic." I was like, "Yeah, that's, yeah, because it is unique to our community, you know." Also, one of my favorite things was I really saw it like, sort of transcend like different generations. And so like an entire family, I remember, came up to me. It was the parents and their two daughters, and the mom could relate. The daughters totally related to, you know, sort of finding these loopholes, you know, amongst your Arab American family and like, you know, trying to carve out your own path. And so it was just, it was incredibly inspiring, you know, and for, especially for it to be our first audience, it really set the film off in such a powerful way for us to, you know, take it on the road and start touring around. And the entire year, you know, I think we went to about 16 festivals. And that entire year was just a great sort of test audience for us. You know, we got to really see it cross over into many different types of people, many different like geographical locations all over the world. And people just kept relating to it, identifying with it. The audience was like mirroring everything that we were trying to communicate, you know. Every time a joke worked, I would, you know, I was like, yes, that worked, you know? And then the more I watched it also, I noticed that, wow, people are laughing at different things and like different audiences. That made me really happy. So I felt like, you know, people really saw a lot of different things in the film, I think, which is also what is kind of unique about it, that people pick up on different things. There's so many characters in the film to choose from that everybody has like their favorite. And I kept hearing different things like, you know, this scene was my favorite. This scene was my favorite. There wasn't necessarily like a repeat, you know, it was people just really identified with many different parts of the film. And that's what I also was very inspired by as well.
Well, you've been to Toronto and yes. Nothing against Toronto, but now you got to play Detroit.
Yeah.
And, <can't> wait. And I was just going to ask, you know, what do you have for the premiere and sort of how are you feeling about it? Are you a little nervous to bring it back home for the big show?
Yeah, it's like a mixed bag of all these different emotions, actually. I've been waiting, like, you know, to bring it here for so long. You know, we wanted Detroit to kick off our theatrical release, you know, so it was like we wanted that for Detroit. So we knew that, you know, we had to take it on the road and like eventually like, you know, hook up with the distributor and get our distribution plan together so that we can roll it out properly. We wanted Detroit to be the first place where we rolled it out, of course. I'm very excited to share the film with the cast and crew and the entire team of people who've been on this project for the past 9 years, you know, lifting it up and making it happen. You know, people who I've asked favors from, people who have just supported me in the project for so long, doing whatever it, you know, took to get it made and to get it up and running. And so I'm really just thrilled and so excited about that to finally share it with, you know, everybody who helped make it happen. And then the Detroit audience, again, like, you know, Detroit is such a diverse place, you know, but it can be very segregated. You know, there's so many different ethnic communities here, you know, many different like types of people here. And we can still be very, you know, live in our sort of own little neighborhoods. And what I'd like to see is a really wide and diverse group of people coming out to see this film, because it's, you know, it's told through this Arab American dynamic, but it really is a film that has the potential to cross over, you know, into a more mainstream audience and really reach people, you know, outside the Arab American community for sure. But we really view Detroiters as our core audience, you know. A lot of times distribution companies are, you know, constantly asking us, like, you know, what do you see as your core audience? And we keep saying, really, Detroiters are our core audience, you know. I think, or anybody who's been to a gas station is our core audience, you know. It's and so I'm excited to also showcase so much, like, Detroit talent within the film. You know, there's so many, like, wonderful people, you know, that, especially, like, the customers that come in and out of all the drama and comedy. And one of the best compliments I've received on the road this past year is about the performances. Everybody's, like, really crazy about the performances, and they're usually shocked to find out that a lot of people in the film are, you know, this is their first time actors, or, you know, maybe, like, they're musicians who came on board and, like, did, like, they played a customer role. Everybody just said, you know, no matter how small the role, like, even just the one-liners, they felt like the characters were so developed and that the performances were just so stellar that they really connected with everybody in the film.
Well, anyone who's ever been to a gas station, I think I think you have a big, big audience there.
Exactly. Exactly. Anybody who's, like, kind of annoyed with the gas prices, anybody who, you know, goes to a gas station, it's just, it's a very relatable place. You know, there's this familiarity of the gas station there. You know, this sort of, like, corner store, you know, within the community. This is what the gas station has become in a lot of Detroit, you know, neighborhoods and Detroit communities. It's this meeting place. It's like a, to me, it always represented this turnstile, this place where people come in and out of each other's lives, especially in a place like Detroit, where it tends to be more segregated and we constantly live in our cars. And so a gas station becomes kind of like our subway, you know, a place where you stop in, you actually see people, maybe you see a clerk, you know, that is your regular person that you see, and you become part of each other's lives within this corner, you know, gas station. And so yeah, that's what the film explores for sure.
So the premiere itself, where is it? When is it? How can people get tickets?
We are having, like, a big red carpet, you know, gala premiere on November 13th, Wednesday. And that's also going to be our cast and crew screening. So people will be able to come out and meet the entire cast and crew, meet the stars of the film. We have our leads, EJ Aussie and Nada Shuhayev, and also Mike Bataya coming in from LA. Mike is actually a Detroiter. He grew up in Detroit, but is based in LA. We have, like, a cast, I think, of around 80 people. So there will be lots of really great, interesting people, you know, there, lots of Detroit talent. And that night we're also having a reception for everybody with really delicious Lebanese food, and of course. And we'll watch the film. We'll do a Q&A with myself and the actors afterwards. And then afterwards we'll have a reception upstairs in the Crystal Gallery. So that will be, you know, our big sort of celebration and event to kick off the theatrical release of the film. And it will also serve as a fundraiser for the Friends of the Detroit Film Theater, with proceeds going to the Detroit Film Theater in support of. And then after Wednesday, the film actually opens up on Friday, November 15th, at the Detroit Film Theater. It'll screen there for 5 nights, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And we're going to come out and do a Q&A on that Friday show as well, with myself and the actors. And we're trying to really just, you know, spread the word and get as many people to watch it, you know, in Detroit as possible. It's so nice on a big screen. We don't want people to miss it, you know, in theaters. Because it will eventually, of course, like, you know, be out on VOD and DVD, but we really, really want people to see it in a theater because it's a great experience.
And especially the Detroit Film Theater. Anyone who's listened to our show knows that Mike and I just rave about the place. And if you ever have an opportunity to go, you really need to. Not only for the films, they're obviously great to see there, but just for the theater itself as well.
Exactly. We could not think of a better place to, you know, premiere our film and to, you know, hold the week-long run there. And Elliot Wilhelm actually saw the film in Toronto last year. And so it was just, it was a great partnership because, you know, he was definitely a fan of the film. And he'll also be hosting the Q&A on the premiere night as well. So it's going to be a great discussion. And we're really excited to hear like the audience's questions and just to see their reactions and, you know, to sit there and watch it together. You know, like that's what I'm most excited about is actually watching it with everybody, like with 1,200 Detroiters, you know, in the crowd. That's going to be a blast.
And not only that, but to watch it with an audience that goes, I know where that corner is. I know where they shot that.
Exactly. And like recognizing all their friends in the film and, it's going to be a really great celebration. I can't wait. But I am, of course, a little nervous. You know what I mean? Like, if, you know, I want people to like it, of course, you know, and I think that they will. But yeah, there's still like, yeah, you're always a little nervous, you know, before it screens anywhere. But like bringing it home, you know, it's like, you know, you want, it's like showing it to your family. You know what I mean? Like, you want your family to really like it. And so I definitely, you know, I'm very excited to see people's reactions.
And it's my understanding that folks outside of Detroit will get a chance to see it relatively soon as well.
Yes. So after the week in Detroit, we are then off to New York, where it opens up at Cinema Village in Greenwich Village in New York City on November 22nd. So it will have a week run in New York. And then from there, we'll see. You know, this is where the film can really shine, you know, and really like generate interest. And if it, you know, if it does well in theaters, it can keep going. We can extend the theatrical run. We can do other cities. You know, on our website, we, you know, people can get a hold of us on our website and request a screening. And so I think, you know, towards the, from now until the end of the year, we would definitely love to look at different possibilities and take the film as many places as possible before its VOD and DVD release in the spring.
You had talked about talking to distributors. Are you working with one or are you doing this all on your own?
Well, we actually are taking a more hybrid approach to our distribution. The film was part of this really great program in May called From Artist to Entrepreneur. Ted Hope is the person that sort of put this program together with the San Francisco Film Society. And they brought out like 10 filmmakers in our stage of distribution and really workshopped us into this like new hybrid strategy of distribution. So we got to meet a lot of really, really great, innovative people and distribution companies who are taking a much different approach now to distribution, which I think so many filmmakers are doing. So our approach is basically we did a Kickstarter or a Indiegogo campaign in May. We raised a, you know, small chunk of money to, with the support, I think we had like over 150 donors, which was incredible. And then we are picking up the theatrical and then a distribution company is picking up our VOD and DVD, you know, and like down the road. And so, you know, we thought it was important, you know, to definitely get the film out there and put it on a big screen. And so we are, you know, making the effort and we're working with different companies to make that happen. So it's this more hybrid approach that I think a lot of people are going in, you know, into this direction. One of the biggest things that, you know, we learned is that there is like this breakdown in distribution. But, you know, within that breakdown, there's so many different opportunities for filmmakers to really be creative in reaching their audience. Sort of like the music industry, you know, how there's just a more direct link now between filmmakers and their audience. And so, you know, it means a lot more work for us, but, you know, we're used to it. You know, we're independent filmmakers. We're, you know, we didn't we sort of didn't expect it. We didn't know what to expect, really. You know, the landscape is changing so much at all times. But, you know, as filmmakers, we adjust and, you know, we keep looking for new avenues and new ways to go. But I think that this is working out really well because I can see myself now incorporating this new distribution model in like the early development stages of my next film now. You know, it's just, you get such a clearer picture and such a better understanding of what it takes to sell a film. Because you really, what I've noticed is like, it's such good information and good experience to have when you're actually writing your next film and developing your next film. You know, like, okay, I didn't think about that when I was making Detroit Unleaded because you're just so busy getting out the story. But now it's like you have this perspective, you have such a wider perspective that you can actually incorporate these new distribution ideas within the development stage of your film, you know, so... It's pretty exciting stuff.
A lot of people focus on, I've got to create the thing, but they don't think about where does the thing go when I'm done. So that's what you were talking about is understanding the back end. What do you do when you're finished?
Exactly. And I think that's totally, I mean, I think that's very common because as a first-time filmmaker, you know, you're so blinded by everything. You're trying to create this big, huge thing, but you've never done anything on this scale before. And so you're so blinded the whole time you're going into it. You have a vision, but you can't see the details because you've never done the details before. You've never pulled this many people together before. It's like you are going, you know, it's, you know, a lot of people talk about how making a film is like you're assembling an army. It's like, it's such a battle. It is that, but you're going into a battle and you've never really done it before. So it's so interesting. And so now that you have that insight, you know, I think that's the most rewarding thing in filmmaking is as soon as you get that insight, you get to directly apply it to your next film. That's what I did with the short. You know, that was one of the most satisfying things about the short is like everything I learned from the short, I got to apply it to the feature. And now everything I learn from the beginning to the distribution stage of my feature, I get to apply it to my next feature, you know, and be more thorough, you know, in terms of, I don't only need to raise money to make the film now. I need to raise money to make and to write, develop, make and distribute the film, like from all the way from beginning to end, because that's really, I think, the new way of like a lot of filmmakers in the future.
So if people are interested, they want to know more about Detroit Unleaded, where can they go and learn more about your work?
Sure. DetroitUnleaded.com. It will lead you to all of our, like Facebook page and Twitter. And then we will have a schedule of screenings. We're also screening at the Windsor International Film Festival on Wednesday. We'll also be screening in Alaska right after, around, I think, December 6th, at the Anchorage International Film Festival. New York, of course, Detroit. And also stay tuned in the Detroit areas as, you know, and if you yourself would like to, you know, organize a screening, you know, in a special event screening in Detroit or anywhere in the country. I know soon we'll also be going off to like colleges and universities next year. So it definitely still has a life on the big screen, you know, over the next year. But, you know, we'd like to get it out to as many people as possible, you know, very, very soon, like through VOD and DVD sales as well.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I appreciate all your support on the project.
We'll be right back. always searching, searching for that big bull thump. But around these parts, you don't have to look too far to get a little bit of that funk. Whatever you need, got it for days. Too much elbow grease to complain. The flow don't stop. Bounce off the walls, all pogo on to the teeth like a RoboCop. If you don't, well, you're bound to know about this old town and the way that we do it. A scene here that is unsurpassed by any city under the moon. Eclectic sounds deep in our hearts and souls. It wouldn't be any other way, brother. I got more to say, but until next time, like I'm out, Olay.